Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening. Hope is alive. Better push the button there, Richard, and stop talking. Hope is alive. We welcome you. Yeah, go ahead and laugh at me, Brother Ralph. That's okay.
That was Everett.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't gonna accuse him of that, but you do something, you need to be laughed at. But welcome. It's Hope is Alive, and God is good all the time, and the blessings he gives us. Folks, just stay tuned. And you'll hear some blessings, and those blessings can be yours. So, well, Brother Ralph, good evening.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here.
Amen, amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma again.
Amen, amen. So, well, looking forward to the program tonight. Brother Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, and I will let you know when our callers call in.
All right, thank you, sir, and good evening, everyone. We do welcome you to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus by Christians performing that power. I'm Ralph, your co-host here, also with Pastor Cox, and we thank you. If there's any questions you have about deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. The website is set up. It's pretty user-friendly. Almost everything that we talk about, night in and night out, is on that website there, available free of charge. Or you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. It's a manual laid out to help those working through deliverance. Basically, it's casting out demons for dummies, as I like to call it, because it is real simple. I mean, Pastor has done a good job of laying it down in a real simple basic, just putting the scriptures out for you, the tried and tested different ways they've used them to break strongholds and close the doors and bring out demonic spirits. And you can get that by calling the office at 307-742-7582. And I know Richard has a brand new case of them because I helped get those to him, put them in the back of John's truck. So we've got a fresh batch of them for anybody who needs them out there. And we do thank you for joining us. Pastor, I wanted to read a scripture real quick, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Ephesians 3:20, Now to him, talking about Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And what is that power? That's the power that's laid out in Luke 10:19. That's not a little power, it's not some power, but it's all power over the enemy. And we do thank you, Jesus, that you granted us that, because when we go into battle, you didn't leave us unarmed.
It's still amazing to me, Brother Ralph, how we've been endued with this power in Jesus' name. That just average Christians, not a gift thing, it is normal Christianity to be able to cast out evil spirits and heal the sick and do these supernatural works of Jesus. I would have, years ago, I would have never imagined that I would be doing this. And many are the same way. Who would have thought that little us can do these things, supernatural things, and see people's lives changed as a result? It certainly drives us on, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it is very rewarding to help others. I mean, I'm sure plenty of you out there listening have volunteered and taken time to help others. And it is better to give than it is to receive. And when you just operate in that function of that authority, that office of authority that God has given us through His Son Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to cast these out and see the changes in people, it really, really, it just encourages and empowers you. And those testimonies overcome right along with the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to hear some testimonies tonight, just like we've been hearing now for, 2 years now? 3 years.
3 years. 3 years.
3 years. It is 3 years. I got my bag in 3 years. 3 years.
About 300 testimonies.
Yes. And that's 300 lives that are changed. You know, Pastor, that's just not 300 lives that are changed, because we have no idea the lives they changed because of the change they received. And that's the great thing about the gospel being word of mouth. And there is no better advertisement, they say, out there in the business world. And I would say it's even the same for Christianity, even more so than the word of mouth testimony, because it's just really hard to argue with someone when they said, hey, you know, I had this problem. I've met these people, helped me get over it, and they get over it by doing this, and now I don't have that problem anymore. And it's just really hard to argue with that.
And often in one session. I mean, is that a good deal or what?
Yeah, it is
a good deal. The gospel is full of good deals, isn't it, Ralph?
Yes, it is.
Praise God.
I haven't found a bad deal in the gospel, unless you're one of the wicked ones. I haven't seen a bad deal whatsoever by reading the gospel and looking in there. I mean, Jesus does say, take my yoke because it is easy and light. And I would much rather take it than be just continue going on with the yoke of the enemy.
Yes, yes. Well, we had...
I was just about to ask you, what was going on this Monday?
Well, I'm going to start with what happened last Monday. We had 28 cases, which was way above usual. Normally, we have about 12 or 15, and yet we had 28 recorded in ministry reports on people week ago Monday. But this Monday, we had this cold spell come in. I guess it was the first freeze, yeah, I think it was, of the season. And something about, I guess, Okies hunkered down the first freeze because we only had actually a total of 4 cases. We had 2 just sitting there getting the teaching and all, but it turns out there were quite a few of the teams that came in nevertheless. And there were a few of the team members that wanted some ministry and prayer. So I guess it could be said we ministered the 4. But that's the way it is in the cold nights. You know, it's funny, though. People get used to it pretty quick. And after that first hit, the first freeze, and then they kind of settle down. It's not so bad after all, you know. And the roads weren't bad at all. We only had about 3/4 inch of snow, not overwhelming. I'm sure Richard would laugh at that up there in Wyoming in the control room. But Okies, I guess, thought it was overcoming. Even though the roads were clear, it was on the grass. and it was pretty well gone at noon of the next day, you know. But nevertheless, that was our score. But we average out really good. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm sure Richard's getting a good laugh on the three-quarter-inch massive snowstorm we had, and
yeah.
I've seen Brad from Alaska walking around in shorts and sandals in this kind of weather.
Yeah, just to let you know, we've got about 8 to 10 inches forecast for Saturday. That's 8 to 10 inches of snow, so we'll see. You know, but it's just it's the way it goes, and we welcome.
Well, I'm glad our Saturday has. The lows of the 60s.
Yeah.
I'll take that weather over 8 to 10 inches any day. But, you know, that's the good Lord bringing the right weather and the right season, because if they didn't get that snow up there, parts of the world, parts of this country wouldn't get any water come spring. So we do thank the Lord for that. And, you know, Pastor, I give us some thought about that. I think every time a group of us have come out from, you know, Scripture for America, to get together to have training, and we've showed up at your war room, you've always had a larger amount of people, and I think that's the Holy Spirit coordinating it so we can get our chances in there to get a little time in the saddle performing some deliverances, because we don't get the chance to do it every Monday night like you do. So it seems to be every time we showed up, you've had just a little bit
extra. Oh, yeah. I was delighted.
Working the Lord.
I was delighted to have reinforcements. We needed it, and even with so many from Scriptures for America ministering as ministers in the deliverance, we still had two groups of four. One group was in Spanish, and then the other one was in English, and they were in separate rooms. So it was a big evening. I'm still catching my breath after that one.
And you know what's so neat about it is you've got all these people that come together, and they all have different backgrounds. I know that your background growing up was a Methodist, and then of course us at Scriptures for America have a strong background in the Church of Christ. I know there's actually a few of your members that are from the background of the Church of Christ, and you've got people that have come from all different denominations. And have learned that this power that's talked about in Luke 10:19, the authority that's given us at the end of Mark there in chapter 16, does not encompass just one denomination. It's for all believers of Jesus, those who operate in a part of the body. It doesn't mean you have to be a certain denomination. It means that you just have to operate and walk in that authority. And that's just what's so awesome to see those people that come together and. They throw away the denominational baggage that comes a lot of times with denominations that boxes you in, and they're able to operate in it. And I've heard several of those people there say they consider when they come there Monday night more of their church than they do on Sunday, because they get to talk about things that no one will listen to them in their other churches.
Yes, it's hard to talk about what we see and hear and what goes on. And when you go back to some of the churches, but that is a neat thing, is that everybody at Deliverance Ministries is from different churches, and those that come for ministry are from different churches. So we are the body of Christ ministering to the church at large. Whoever needs help, we're there.
Now, I tell you, if you witness to people, I gave you a little bit of the testimony. I meant to bring that this evening, and I got to talk about other things. Last Thursday? Yes, I think it was last Thursday or Friday. I got to witness and doing the Father's business more than my business at a customer's. Been over an hour with them, speaking to these ladies there. And, you know, just gave a little bit enough just to start off, and they were hungry for it, and they wanted more and more. And before it was all said and done, I had these ladies telling me things they had witnessed in their life in the spiritual realm. And I said, you know, no one's ever believed me. No one's ever believed me. I saw that. I know what I saw. I know what I saw.
I know.
And I said, well, I believe you. And
it's supernatural.
And which way to go? Yes. And it, and I honestly believe, Pastor, there's a lot of people out there like that that have seen things.
Yes.
And they're not sure what
they're hungry. Seeing. Yeah.
And they're hungry for it. And they wanted to share with the right person, but they didn't think everybody would believe them. And it's a shame because the Christian world should understand it. Yes, there are things that are unseen that manifest themselves. And a lot of times they are evil spirits, demons, those that come to torment us by assignment. And they do come and attack Christians. And it's a shame they can't witness to other people and get these cast out. But that's why we're here on this radio program to talk about it. And, Pastor, we have Laura on the line. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hi, Laura. So glad you called in.
Well, thank you.
Can you hear
us?
Can you hear us? Yes, and you might back away just a little bit from the phone. It sometimes distorts, at least on our end.
Okay.
So it's better to back off just a little bit, but... Yeah, Laura, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences that you've had yourself and seen around you. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was born again when I was in my late 20s, and I was brought into the fold with Leon, my husband, and we have been listening to Deliverance Ministries for many years, as long as I can remember. And he went through deliverance with several of the men and really felt the Spirit moving, that this was something that we needed to do as a couple that would help us to grow stronger within our faith and with our marriage and with our ministry to be able to minister to others, because we would be more on the same, I'm not sure what the word would be, the same level with being together on it. And so I went through deliverance once before, and I had an excellent experience. I think I testified several months ago, maybe a year or so ago. It's been a while. I can't remember the exact date of when I went through my first deliverance. And I highly recommended, you know, other couples doing the same thing, going through deliverance at the same time, not with the same people. You know, of course, the women go with the women and the men go with the men, but it's just an awesome and exciting experience that you get to go through and to see things visibly and physically change within yourself and with others. You can see the light in their faces when they leave the deliverance room in the evenings. And this last couple weeks, I had the opportunity to accompanied Leon to Oklahoma again, and we did another deliverance session, and I feel like we had an excellent time with that, and I really have found some significant changes that have helped me immensely with after having gone through that deliverance.
Wow, praise God.
Yes.
When you went through the deliverance, Laura, could you tell there were some spirits coming out, or what seemed to go on?
Yeah, during the session, it was just Everett and I that were doing the session, and it was a very personal type of experience, because I felt more freedom and I was more receptive to the Holy Spirit. We were going through the different prayers and the different things that we were going through. I can't remember exactly what they're all called, but when he asked for warring angels around, I could close my eyes and I could see them. The whole room was just filled with them. I could see the light in my eyes and I could feel it. And when he called forth the head demon and asked if there was actually a demon or a fallen angel, and I could feel the spirit speaking from within me that wasn't me, and I could feel it crying, and I remember him telling this thing to now sit up and answer the question, and I could feel my body physically sitting up straight in the chair and doing exactly as Everett was commanding for the spirit to do. It was so awesome because it was like I was just kind of sitting there watching everything happen as it was going on. And when we finished with all of our prayers and we did the limb check, my arms were good, and we watched my leg, actually, both legs come out to be even, and I didn't even realize that one leg was off. I had a shoulder injury several years ago. I was helping Leon with putting the boat on a trailer, and I was skinning down the side of the truck, and I slipped on the concrete and almost pulled my shoulder out of socket. So I've had some difficulty with that, with mobility in my shoulder and being able to use it. And when we prayed for that to be gone, it was gone. And I have had complete and absolute mobility in my shoulder and have not had any pain with it or any like hesitation or creaks or anything since our ministry session. And I just praise God because Everett said it was healed, and I believe it, and then I accepted it, and that's just the way it is. It's just that simple.
Nothing difficult about the gospel, is there?
No, nothing at all.
Holy Spirit.
It's right there in black and white, and you read it every day, and to many people it's just words on paper until you make it personal about yourself, and then when it's personal, it becomes real. And I think that's where a lot of people miss the boat, is because to them it's just another book they're reading, and it's not their life. It's not what they're actually living.
Yes.
I do some substitute teaching at the local schools here where we live, and I have found that with Leon and I have both having gone through deliverance, that when I come home with the name of a student or the name of some children in a family here in our local community, we can take it to the Lord in prayer, and I can come back to him a week later or even just the next day and visibly notice a difference, the impact that we have had on praying for, you know, healing for the family, for comfort, for the demonic spirits to shut up and get out and be done and gone away with. And I mean, there's so many things that I can tell you that I've seen, just little tiny small things on a day-to-day basis that are absolutely awesome. And I just don't, praise God that I have the ability to be able to do this, because it was pointed out to me when I had the opportunity to sit in with another minister during the deliverance session. After I had my session, I sat in with another minister, and he said something to me that I've heard for a long time, but it just didn't click until that night when I was helping minister to another young lady. And he told us, he said, you know, you are the boss of Satan. I've always, always wanted to be the boss. You can ask Leon, he'll tell you. I have always wanted to be the boss. And when that man told me I am the boss of Satan and that no amount of prayer that I can do to take to Jesus Christ is going to do anything until I fire Satan and I forbid him to work in my life, he's done. He's jobless. He's out of here.
Amen.
And when that all clicked in my mind, I was just like, wow, so much of this everything else makes more sense. It just, everything just seemed to click.
Amen.
So
you're learning how much power you have, Laura.
Oh my word. It is. Yes. It is all the power. It's not just some or just a little tiny bit. like when a baby is first learning to walk, you know, they're very wobbly and they just take a step or two and they stumble and they fall and they get back up and they keep trying again. No, this is something you have. You pick it up and you can take it and you can run with it. You don't have to take little tiny baby steps or, you know, practice hanging on to the wall and scooting along a little bit at a time. This is something that is yours. Full capacity, everything, all there is, it is yours for the taking.
It's such high adventure to actually engage and utilize the gospel in helping people. Well, you had some other feelings too, didn't you? Didn't you have some allergies or some other things that we addressed?
I did. I have always had some very severe allergies. And after our deliverance session, we were having dinner, and one of the guys ordered pizza and strawberry cake for myself and another lady friend that I was having dinner with at the time. I have not been able to eat strawberries, any type of cooked strawberries, for a very, very long time. Even fresh strawberries, I've had a lot of difficulty. It was one of those things that have caused me to have severe reactions extremely quickly. I ate a piece of that strawberry cake, and I had no reaction, and it tasted so wonderful. I had forgotten how good strawberries taste. When Leon and I came home, I've always had a lot of allergies to animals. So I have several cats, and they're big and they're fluffy and they're so attentive. They love attention. And my girls pick them up and they love on them all the time. And I always wish, I wish I could do that. But every time I would get close to them and I'd pick them up and pet them, my neck would start itching and scratching and my arms would feel itchy and scratchy and my eyes would swell up. I would have trouble breathing. But this time when I came home from Oklahoma after our deliverance session, I picked up my cat and I loved on it and rubbed it against my cheek. No reaction, no itching, no swelling, no trouble with breathing. It was so wonderful, so wonderful.
Praise God, how awesome that is. And you're starting to really enjoy life abundant, amen?
Oh, yes, amen.
Yeah, that is so cool.
I got to chime in real quick. It was good strawberry cake.
Well, that's part of an abundant life, having strawberry cake.
Yes,
it is. I don't know who ordered that.
It is.
I don't know who ordered it, but it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Well, then another thing that happened, Laura, was you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues.
I did. I had the opportunity of being able to pray with Brother Everett and speak in tongues and get to experience that on a whole new level. I have always been very accepting of that and been completely okay with other people doing it. I just was very timid with myself doing it because I was always, I don't know, I guess just kind of fearful or confused about it. And that was one of those spirits that we called up and got rid of, expelled away, was the confusion about everything and anything. And I have been able to enjoy being able to do that now. That's something that, you know, another one of those gifts that you can learn to do and pick it up and you can run with it. And it's just like being the best boxer and you step in the ring for the first time and you have a TKO on the first round and it's a neat experience. I'm really enjoying this.
You got such a flowing language, beautiful flowing language, Laura. It was really exciting to hear it.
Yes.
This is awesome. Another thing you received earlier in the ministry session was what we call inner healing, where our Jesus was taking you back to various memories and events of the past that carry bad feelings, and Jesus took those as part of the process of pulling the rug out from under the evil spirits, so they're easy to deal with. Now, confusion was that hit demon, and so it was. Think how long that had been doing a job on you.
Yeah. Yes, it was. It did a job on me, but thank God we've gotten rid of it, and it is no longer plaguing me or bothering me, and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yes, praise God. Well, anything else you'd like to share before Leon takes on?
Well, not really that I can think of right at this moment, just that I really enjoyed being able to come up and get to go through deliverance and sit in, and I think it was very beneficial for me to be able to sit in on another deliverance with somebody that was so experienced as the gentleman that I sat in with, because I really learned a lot from just listening to him and praying with him while he was ministering to another woman, because not only was he ministering to her, but he was also ministering to me, but I was there to help minister to her as well. And it was just, it was a very beneficial experience, I feel like. And I think if more people would just be able to come up and do this, watch the online videos, go through that, read through the book. That's what Leon and I have done. We went through and we read through the book, and we decided, you know, this is what we want to do as a couple, and we think this is where our ministry is leading us, and this is what we need to do, because it's right here. It's black and white, and we need it to be something more than just a page in a book. We need this to be the page in our book, a page in our lives. And this is what we need to be living. So that's where we got that. And I just encourage other people to use that same page and live it in their life as well.
And Laura, think how few people up there where you live around you, they don't know anything about this, more than likely.
No, there's not very many, but there's not around here.
And that's true everywhere. So
yeah,
it's open season to go forth, you know, to minister to the brokenhearted and set at liberty those who are bruised. Are all around us.
Oh yes,
Laura.
Yes,
thank you so much for sharing. That was a beautiful testimony. We covered a lot of ground in a few minutes.
We did. Well, awesome. We covered a lot of ground in the amount of time that we spent together that weekend when we were up there. And I praise God that we had the opportunity to be able to do that in more of a private setting and be able to get those issues taken care of that had bothered me and plagued me. And, you know, I praise God that somebody had the knowledge to share with you, and you've been able to share with everybody else all these years.
Yes. And I just praise God over and over that somebody shared with me 40 years ago. It's so easy for anyone to miss ever hearing about it. And it was just by a chance. I'm sure it was coordinated, but it seemed like it was just, I could have missed it so easy, you know. So, but somebody did, and somebody shared with you and Leon, and praise God, here we go.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And do you want to? Thanks so much, Laura. And do you want to go ahead and give it over to Leon?
Yeah, Leon, are you ready? Okay. He's going to call in. I'm going to go in and take care of my little ones and get them ready for school, because we don't have snow just yet, but they're predicting snow. So thanks for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed speaking with you, gentlemen. And blessings to everybody, and I look forward to seeing more people coming to the deliverance testimonies and going through the sessions It's an awesome experience. I know you would never, nobody would regret ever going through it. I would encourage everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Laura. Blessings to you.
Bye-bye. Today, Pastor, a couple times a year I get to work in up around where Leon lives. And I stay over at Leon and Laura's house, visit with them. And I was there just about a little over a month ago. And not saying that there was any kind of heaviness or anything upon her, but I could see a real difference with her last weekend. There was a glow about her after she came out of deliverance. So there was obviously something that that was lifted off of her, and it was just real noticeable with her last weekend, just how cheerful and bubbly and how much
she is
upon her. And
yes, she is. Hallelujah.
You know, it was awesome, and it was really good having really good blessing having some of the ladies there with us, especially when we got together for singing, because those just those little girls, those little ladies' voices in there just add that extra touch that the men don't have when we're singing, and it was just a real blessing to hear them. But I believe we have Leon. Leon, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, you might back off a little bit. It seems like so often that the person speaks... you can even drop your voice a little bit, or just hold the phone a little from you there. But yeah, go ahead and just give the history on yourself and how you, when you were born again, heard about deliverance, and any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to read a scripture in Revelations 17:14. It says, "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful." Now, our pastor did quite a bit of a series on this particular scripture. In fact, I've even had an opportunity to do a communion talk several times concerning this scripture. But as it comes to being called, at the age of 5 years old, I felt a calling to draw closer to the Lord. I enjoyed reading the Bible at a very young age. I enjoyed looking at the pictures and reading the pictures. And I remember one evening, my dad turned off the lights and told me it was time for bed. And I could remember my left hand actually glowed. It was completely illuminated. I believe that was when I first received the calling that the Lord was putting a purpose on me. As I was looking at my hand, how it illuminated in the night, I was always, it kind of caught me by surprise. I did not expect to see that. When I became chosen, I was around the age of 22. Because of several life events, being dragged through the mud, I'd come to the point that I could no longer listen to mainstream radio, not country, not rock, not any of it. So I began to listen to audio Bible reading. It was dramatized Bible reading. And I would listen to that going to work. And by listening to the Word of God, I would come to realize that I had always placed too high a priority on the ladies that have come into my life. I realized by listening to the Word of God that Jesus wants to be number one, and Jesus deserves to be number one. And we as Christians need to set Jesus up as number one in our life. If we want to have the best relationship with our wife that we could ever have, we need to make sure that the Lord Jesus is number one in not only our lives, but also in our wife's life. I don't want to be number one in my wife's life. I want to be number two. I'm much more happy knowing that she has Jesus as number one than myself being placed up as a God. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is a jealous God. So he would, it's not good to set anything up before him as a God. But he'll use that God to drag you closer to him. So anyways, at that age, I remember coming to my dad around 22 years old. I said, Dad, I need to get baptized. And it was just by hearing the word of God, I realized baptism was important to have my sins washed away. So he directed me toward Scriptures for America. And it was December 24, 1991. I was baptized up in Collinville, Illinois, in a cold, heated swimming pool. And that's when my sins were washed away. That's when I became chosen. Now, being faithful, I marked these three times in my life. When I became chosen, when I became called, and when I became more faithful is when deliverance, I learned about deliverance. I struggled for many years, ever since I was called and chosen, with being in control of my thoughts. I would have wicked thoughts when I should not have wicked thoughts. And I would always be like, why would I have these wicked thoughts overwhelming me? I'm a baptized believer in Jesus Christ. I fervently read my scriptures. Why is my mind drifting away in these areas? Deliverance helps us to become faithful because we realize that those thoughts, and thankfully through Brother Jim, you know, learning the perish your thought prayers, I learned how to control and learn that when those thoughts come into my mind, that I command them in the name of Jesus to be gone, and how quickly they disappear. Now I can find that I can stand and I can talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. I can talk to him not only about Jesus, I can feel like I can talk to him with love and compassion for what they are going through right now in their life. Because I believe with deliverance, you learn more about that compassion that you need to have for others. You learn how the sins of the fathers is different for every different individual, and how those sins of the fathers will come against people. I used to stand in judgment when I would see people that are not living the life that they're living. Now I see that they've just been given so much to overcome, and they're not able to overcome it because they don't know about how great our Savior is. And how great Jesus can take care of these things for us and give us life more abundantly. So with deliverance, I learned how to be faithful. Pastor Peters did another excellent message, and it's on tape 146, and it's called The Four Stages of Spiritual Growth. I'm sure if you call the Scriptures for America email you write and you ask for this tape, it's tape number 146, The Four Stages of Spiritual Growth. And if I remember correctly, and actually it just came to me yesterday, so I haven't really had a chance to research it, but the four stages kind of go as this. You have the first stage is that everybody will go through in their life. The first stage is the rebellion stage. Some people never live past the rebellion stage. The next stage is the institutionalized stage. Those are when you get into churches and you're starting to read the Word of God and you're coming to know Christ and you're growing in the institutional stage. Well, I think a lot of the group, there are Scriptures for America, and I'm reaching out here, are group three people. And the group three is the truth seekers. People that realize we're not getting fed like we need to be in these churches. We need to start looking other places. We know there's more truth out there than what we are being given in any particular denomination. So I really believe the Lord has called us out to be seekers of the truth and to look other places and to examine the Word of God and pray, fervently pray, and learn. So a lot of our group is truth seekers. The last one here is more perfect love. I believe that we can move into the fourth stage of more perfect love by going through deliverance. I feel like by going through deliverance and by going through and learning how to take my thoughts captive to knowledge and obedience to Jesus Christ, by growing closer to God, not judging so much when I see somebody in sin, but having compassion and love for them and saying, Lord, please forgive them. Lord, I have not prayed for them. I have not done my job. Forgive them, Lord, because I know that if I would have been doing which I should have been doing, they would not be in the state that they're in. So I believe that forgiveness and deliverance moves us into that state of the fourth spiritual truth, fourth place that we need to move as Christians into that more perfect love. We're not so quick to judge people, but we realize how the sins of their fathers have been holding them back and keeping them from being able to live life and life more abundantly. I just seen a little gal and just the other day, and we've been praying for her for some time. And she just got out of prison. And it was good to see her off the meth. And I remember her family, how her family was a lot of alcohol, a lot of trash went through that family. I remember that her personally, she was baptized at a young age. But you know, Satan doesn't like losing dirt. Satan loosed all the sins of her forefathers onto her, and it overwhelmed her. And it has dragged her to the pit of hell probably for the last 20 years. And it's so good to see her working a job, smiling, not being on the meth, not being on the other drugs, and being productive in society. It's so good. I know we can overcome Satan, and she can overcome Satan, because we can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, I'm also very big on encouraging men to take their wives to deliverance. I think it's important as couples to go through deliverance at the same time. I remember when Brother Terry went through deliverance, and the next day he went back to deliverance, and he had a spirit of Jezebel, I believe, that came into him. And although his wife was 6,000 miles away, that spirit testified that it came from his wife. So I think it's very important that husbands and wives go through deliverance at the same time. Otherwise, I believe they can transfer too easily. The scripture says the two become one. So when they can see when something's going on, they can quickly jump over to the other one. So taking both couples through deliverance, I believe, is most important. In fact, a thought occurred to me. I thought to myself, why is it that men in the ministry don't want to take their wives to deliverance? Now, it dawned on me, it says, maybe they have become quite fond of some of the demonics that are plaguing their wives. Maybe that's given them the demonics legal grounds to stay in their wives, because the husbands, being the head of the house, like those particular demonics that's plaguing them. I've heard this said before. It says, men, when they marry, do not want their wife to change, but they change anyways. Women, when they marry, hope to change their husbands, but they don't change. And that's what I see going on a lot of times with Scriptures for America. Men don't want their wives to change. They married their wife with those particular demonics, and they like those demonics. So they're afraid to see their wife, and maybe they might realize they maybe don't love their wife like they should if those demonics aren't there. So if those demonics that they are cherishing, but they could be the demonics that's keeping their wife from growing in Jesus Christ. Our wives should be a very high priority with us men. We should love our wives and care for our wives and want our wives to have that close walk with Jesus Christ. One day, each one of us men that are married will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will say, where is your wife? Is that what you want to hear the Lord Jesus say? Where is your wife? I see you, but where is your wife? I believe we will be speechless, as our wife should be there right by our side. It is our priority to make sure our wife enters into the kingdom with us in Jesus Christ. I don't mean to take us too far off the subject, but I hear a lot of men complaining, saying, I can't find a Proverbs 31 woman nowhere. Well, let me tell you this. You will not find a Proverbs 31 woman if you are not a Proverbs 31 man. Do you think that Proverbs 31 woman had to get her husband up because he played video games till 3 o'clock in the morning? Do you think she had to wake him up so he could go to work? Do you think that she married him while he was living in his mama's basement? Or while he was working a part-time job at a local restaurant? No. If you want a Proverbs 31 woman, man, you need to become a Proverbs 31 man. Now, in Proverbs 31, 23, it kind of gives you a little insight about her husband. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That means he is an influential man. He has good standing in his community. And I am sure that she never has to worry about where the food's going to come, or if the food stamps are going to make it there on time before the children go hungry, or if enough beer is in the refrigerator so he won't be mad because he's running out of beer. Yeah, I guess I better leave it like that. But you have to realize, if you want a Proverbs 31 woman, you need to be a Proverbs 31 man. You need to work on you first. And the Lord will provide you that Proverbs 31 woman. Or the Lord can change your wife into a Proverbs 31 woman. But it's all up to you, men. And that's my testimony. In 20 minutes or less.
You certainly cannot expect your wife to be in subjection to you when you're not in subjection to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because that makes you a hypocrite if you're not in subjection. But, Leon, I want to give real quick, since you talked about it, and I know that it's been a great tool, and I know you've testified it to many people. It's been a great tool in my life. If there's nobody out there who doesn't know that Perish the Thought prayer. And I'm going to read it real quick. This is just a powerful, powerful tool, because I agree with Leon. Before I went through deliverance, I just couldn't believe the things that I would think. And I understand why I was thinking of now is the spirit world easily entices the flesh, and your thoughts in the flesh is easy to control once you get rid of those spirits that are lying to you. But it's called Perish the Thought. Jesus, I realize that all thoughts are not from you or me. Some thoughts are from the enemy. From now on, when I realize that a thought is from the enemy, I'm going to say three words. I'm going to say, Perish the Thought. And when I say perish the thought, I'm applying the name and the blood of Jesus to that thought, asking you to extinguish it. Extinguish that thought from this day forth, even forevermore. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. And if anybody wants that prayer, and just contact Richard, and we'll get it to you. But it's just a wonderful testimony, Leon, as always.
Yes. Awesome, Leon.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I figure if you don't do it right the first time, don't worry, they'll have you back on again.
Okay. That sounds great. Blessings to
you. It's kind of like raise your children right, but don't worry if you don't, because you'll have a second chance to raise your grandchildren.
Yes, yes, so true. Again, well said, Leon. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right.